Hello, and welcome to the Empowerography Podcast. This is a platform created for women's voices to be heard and a place to share their stories, journeys, and successes with the world for the purpose of helping other women who might be on similar journeys. We are empowering women one episode at a time. I'm your host, Brad Walsh, so kick back, grab one of your favorite beverages, and enjoy the stories. The world needs to hear your message and your story, so don't deny the world of that gift within you that the universe has given you. Someone out there needs to hear your story because it will support them in feeling hope, inspired, and even transformed. Do you want to discover how I help get my clients out of their own way, show up, and confidently share their message? I would love to extend an invitation to you to join me in my free masterclass, Start Your Own Podcast from Idea to Implementation, on Wednesday, April 5th at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can find the registry link in the show notes. Hope to see you there. Hello there, Brad Walsh here, your host of the Empowerography Podcast. Today, my guest is Samantha Roberto. She is a heart-centered entrepreneur, a master life coach, and a podcast host. Samantha, welcome. I am so excited and happy to have you here. I cannot wait to jump in and share all about the beautiful light that you put out into the world through you, the work you do and your story, your journey. Thank you for making and taking the time to be here with me today.
Thank you for inviting me. I've been waiting for this conversation.
It's going to be epic. So with that being said, let's jump right in. Samantha, what does being a heart-centered entrepreneur mean to you? And how does it shape the foundation of your business and coaching philosophy?
So for me, being a heart-centered entrepreneur is really leading with service. It's realizing that there is something bigger than just ourselves. And instead of turning the lens inward, it's like, how can I use what I've got inside to turn it back to the world and help whoever I can, whenever I can, in whatever capacity I can, while also still honoring my boundaries of taking care of me? It's a beautiful balance. The one thing I'll say about when you are heart-centered is that when you learn how to operate and move from your heart, you have access to infinite energy. And when you're in your mind and you're just maybe you have other ulterior motives, it's limited. Whereas when you're in your heart, you can surrender to a bigger picture and it fuels you in a way that personally I've never experienced.
I love that. Can you share with us what you were doing for a living or for your as your career before you made the jump into entrepreneurship? And what was the catalyst for that shift for you into entrepreneurship?
So it's actually really funny because when I think about my journey in entrepreneurship, I have sort of always been an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I was that little girl who was sweeping hair at my parents' salon in grade 2 at 7. Every single Saturday, I would dress up like this and I would go to work. It was not normal. Never mind playing or any of that. I was like, take care of the work. For those of you guys into horoscopes, I'm a Capricorn too, so it sort of lines up.
Right.
But evolve from there. My first career, I was really lucky because I got into real estate.
Okay.
I grew up in sales, in service, in entrepreneurship, and real estate sort of fell into my hands. It wasn't the plan, but it made sense at the time. And it sort of taught me the ropes because it was sort of a hybrid of having a brokerage and having rules of the game and learning negotiation and learning how to write contracts while also giving you the freedom to sink or swim. So it sort of had me roll up my sleeves, get my feet wet, and it really gave me the foundation to be able to jump to the next thing, which was launching my own business.
And so what drives, motivates, and inspires you to excel and keep going at all that you do?
Life.
Plain and simple, just life.
It's really that simple. It is honestly life. And I do feel very lucky because at a relatively young age, by the time I was 27, I had climbed to the top of that real estate ladder. I reached a level of quote unquote success.
Yeah.
You know, by societal standards, and especially from the small city that I was from. And it gave me the opportunity to be at the top of that game and look around and think, is this really it? Is this what I was doing?
Is this all there is? What? There's got to be more than this.
And it's not to put any of that down, but I really lucked out. And it was an excruciating time for me because it's one of those things, it's almost like you have an internal itch, but you don't know how to scratch it. And it just gets itchier and itchier and itchier until it drives you freaking crazy. And there's no other move than to move forward in the direction of getting curious about what else life could offer you. And so life really inspires me. I've learned so much from the hardest times in my life have been the biggest lessons. And so I really do live unafraid
Yeah.
I'm open to just how amazing and incredible this life can be.
That's incredible because not a lot of people live that way. They live in fear. They live chained down, held back. So to be able to live that way and just embrace all that life has to offer is amazing.
And it's really when you know, you'd mentioned lived in fear. It's like, I live in love and I choose to live in love day after day. And trust me, life will bring me opportunities to push up against challenging moments. But I know I have the resourcefulness through a decade of really walking this path to massage out those knots and then choose love. So, and the more that I do this, the more certain that I am, I'm speaking with a certain that I am in this way of living and this philosophy. And it sort of gets to a point coming back to service. When you live this and you feel this inside and you see the outside world, it goes back to, how can I help? What can I do? How can I share what I've learned in a way to help other people sort of connect to that love that's within them?
We're all here to be in and of service to people. That's a lesson I learned very early on in my entrepreneurial journey, and I'm very grateful for that. I had a mentor when I started my photography business, and we were talking about me collaborating with other businesses, co-creating and creating those relationships. And he told me, because I was, before I started putting myself out there and connecting with other businesses, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to go into these businesses and I want to work with them. What am I going to get out of this? And no, you cannot think that way. You have to go into these businesses that you're going to approach to get into collaboration with, of how can I be of service to you? What can I provide for you, for your clients, for your customers that's going to benefit them? And that was a huge game changer when I realized, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it will all come back to you at some point, but you can't go into business. You can't go into any relationship for that matter with, what am I getting out of this? It's about, what can I bring to the table? What can I give you of value? What do you need help with? What do you need support with? That's what I'm here to do. And once you realize that, it's a fucking game changer.
I mean, and you can, and people can be shrewd business people and they can go completely selfish. You do see that. But at the end of the day, you've got to look you in the mirror. And when it comes to just values and when it comes to happiness, it's just the other way around. It's a no-brainer.
Love, as you say, love. I mean, that's what it's about. Love is the highest vibration on the planet. And we just need to spread that and share that with the world. Mm-hmm. We need it. I want to talk a little bit about the coaching world and your journey into the coaching world. Through the many conversations I've had with many women who are coaches, I've heard a lot of them say that most, if not all coaches, of course, they've been through and dealt with their own personal struggles before making the leap into coaching. We've all, as human beings, been through our shit. We've all got our stories. Everyone has a story and a struggle and a journey. But what I've found, though, is that for a lot of the women who are coaches, that struggle or that particular moment was the catalyst that shifted them into the coaching world. So can you share a little bit about your own personal journey and story and struggles before you made the leap into the coaching world?
So for me, I look back at my late teens and my early 20s. There was a period of about 5 years, which I call the dark ages. My dark ages, life, which I find so inspiring, would not give me a freaking break. And this is when you're late teens and your hormones are changing and, you're trying to figure out the world. And it was just a number of punches that life gave me in so many different areas of my life that anytime it punched me down, I'd stand back up. It punched me down, I'd stand back. I couldn't catch a breath of air. So then after that period, luckily at around 22, I was able to pull myself up and at least see by societal standards, okay, what do I got to do to figure this out? And then that's when I got into real estate. That's when I had more structure. And that's when I focused on, let's say, more of a masculine energy, like a build. And I had so much motivation because it was such a dark place that I was just like, just run to whatever society's telling me to do that. But then what I realized when I was 27 and I had my spiritual awakening is that I built to the wrong standard. That wasn't it. And so for me, it wasn't a clear path to becoming a coach. It's not like I just went from realtor to coach. Although I knew inside, since I was like 17 years old, I would actually Google, what's this life coach thing? I actually did it. And I was like the life coach in the house, but it wasn't really as much a profession back then. But it took me rubbing up against that feeling of that internal itch and not being able to scratch it, but then having the courage time after time to jump into what I thought at the moment was the next best move. Yeah. So I reached about 3 periods over a span of about 5 years where, have you heard of the Dark Night of the Soul?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Dark Nights of Souls. I had multiple of them in that cycle of my journey, and where the reality I had built all of a sudden felt like it shattered and it felt completely meaningless. And so it was hard, extremely challenging because it was so confusing. It's like what you had built, what I had done, literally meant nothing. I was willing to walk away from it to even knows what. But at the same time, I look back at those shattering moments and they gave me the most freedom. I remember one point, because for me, travel was a big part of my journey. I booked a one-way solo ticket to Thailand with no plan, just asking life for adventure, to show me something different, to give me signs, to let me learn. Like, I just immersed myself in that. And that first trip led to the next. I ended up traveling to over 80 countries all over
the world.
A lot of them as like a solo female. And in the moment, meeting the moment, going here, going there, trusting myself, building my intuition, living in flow. And that period gave me so much trust in moving this way. But what I did at the time, because obviously you're like, how do you travel that much? It's like, how'd you find it?
Yeah.
I kept real estate. So I would travel probably on average about 7 months of the year.
Okay.
I would go back to real estate and I'd work very focused, very diligently, like the Capricorn that I am. And I crushed it. But I remember after about 5 years of doing that, the back and forth, I even got to a point of, I was back in Thunder Bay and I'm like, what am I here for? What am I doing here? Why am I back here? Literally, like, I loved real estate, but also for a paycheck. I'm like, I'm trading off 5 months of my time. I'm thinking very differently at this point to be here just for money. That doesn't make sense. I'm young. Wow. I'm like, I'm trading off 5 months of my youth.
Time for money.
But then I also realized, I'm like, okay, I have to figure stuff out. I have to find a way to create service and value and whatnot. And it sort of led me down the path of following what I was meant to do, which was coaching. But an excruciating period was when literally money had no meaning. I literally didn't care. I was like, you can have it all. Like, you could literally, I don't care. I'm going to just continue to follow this path because I'm so sure, even though it makes no sense, that there is something really important for me. And people on the outside were like, what are you doing? Like,
you have the life. You have the ultimate life. You get to travel. You look at the money you make.
I didn't care. It money became meaning. And that was hard. Because I'm looking and I'm like, I literally don't care. This entire thing, it can blow up. There's something in this for me. And I'm so glad, again, going back to the heart space, that I had the courage to block out the outside world, to close my eyes, to drop into my heart and just move from there, because I can't even compare where I am now to where I was then.
That's tough for people to do, is to tune out this noise. First of all, to tune out the noise in here, turn the volume down, but also tune out the external noise, because it's always there. The chatter is always there. And to have the self-awareness to be able to do that is incredible.
Thank you. It came through a lot of during that period. I did a lot of meditation. I did a number of vipassanas, 10-day silent retreats. I was investing in myself. I was reading constantly. So it wasn't just travel. And that's what people didn't understand. They were like, you're traveling again. You're going on vacation. What are you doing? Because they didn't get it. But I knew. I had vision. I understood. It's like I was going so deep within my soul. I didn't care about anything else. It was such a personal, intimate journey. And right now it makes me so happy. I'm so happy that I did.
It's paid off in spades. It's amazing. How have these experiences helped shape the Samantha you are today, both personally and professionally, do you think?
In every single way. I am present. I think the biggest thing is that when I walk into a room or when I'm with you, I'm there.
Yeah.
And my mind is rarely running to the future or hung up on the past. And that also comes from a lot of the deeper work that I've done personally, and a lot of the somatic work and then the emotional work, which I actually guide a lot of my clients through. I think our presence has the most power in the world. And if you can just lock and load into that, your life is just going to blossom in ways that you couldn't even imagine. Your lights are on. Life becomes fun and playful. And
life's too short to take so fucking seriously.
Ta-da! You know?
That's it. I love it.
If you can literally, there's so many cliche terms, the presence is the best present or all these other things, but it's true.
It is true. It also helps your relationships and your connections, because if you're there, like here right now, you and I, we're both present. We are here, fully here. There's no distractions. We are here. It's going to create that much more of a better experience for both of us. And I think that also increases the value of the relationship.
Totally.
Because you know that person is invested for that time. Totally. And that's what matters. Relationships are key. They're everything. They are the foundation for everything in life.
What I was thinking about too is that in 24 hours, like we don't all have the same hour. Like depending on how present you are in the moment, to so many different degrees, it's like that hour you can have, and I'm not like, I like TV every once in a while, but you can really be seen sitting disconnected on your couch, not even paying attention, watching Netflix, and hours go by and it's, what'd you even do today? It's, I don't know. And you're not engaged with it. Or you can do something like this. You can be with your partner. You can be with your friends. You can be immersed in a book. It's depending on how much of your own presence you bring to the table. I really do believe that's tied to the meaning that you can extract out of your life, reverence that you can give yourself. So, and if you're willing to see your life as that precious and important, then you can see other people in that light too.
It is. I mean, sure, we only get a finite amount of time on this earth. So you might as well do everything you can. Don't take life so fucking seriously. Have fun. Meet people. Connect with people. And find your fucking passion. Find what sets your soul on fire. That's it.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I'll say, because this may be helpful, is that oftentimes, because I see it a lot with the clients I work with, we identify as who we are. Like, I'm this way. I've always been this way. This is who I am. What do I do? Who would you be if you weren't that?
Yeah.
You actually gave yourself permission to explore other ways of being. Like, for example, you could identify as a shy person. Mm-hmm. I'm shy. Well, are you? Like, are you really? Or is a part of you shy? And you allow yourself that space to explore who you could be, who you want to be. It's really incredible how much personal growth, personally and professionally, comes when we're willing to just get curious in that capacity.
Well, that also comes with a price, and that's doing the work, right? Which a lot of people don't want to do. But you're right. You hear people say all the time, oh, I've always been like that. That's just who I am. No, you can change that. We are human beings and we evolve. We are constantly growing, constantly expanding, constantly evolving. You can become whatever the fuck you want. It's possible for everybody. But you have to be willing to do the work, to put in the work.
Totally. And it's so funny, because then just being as, I want to say, like almost obsessed with this line of work as I am, it's, I hear it all the time. I hear limiting beliefs, and in such a playful, soft way. It's like when someone says that, I can't even hide my reactions, but I'm like, it's with such love.
Did you really just say that?
But I don't say it like that, but I'll say it in such a soft way that can really help crack people open. And I do think that's one of my gifts, is that I literally have zero judgment to so many things, because like I've dealt with the darkness within me. Yeah. I've seen the monster within. I know humans are capable of anything under whatever circumstances. Like, there's very little shame that lives within me, because I've worked through a lot of it. But it's in that safety that really can hold and help someone else kind of not take themselves as seriously, and then be open to exploring different ways of being. And one breakthrough alone, like you have one breakthrough where you let go a part of yourself, or you integrate a part of yourself, or you give yourself that space, and it has the capacity to completely transform your entire freaking life. And not just your life, it's like the life of the people around you too.
Yes, absolutely. You crack you wide open. And yeah, that ripple effect will shoot out to everybody that you surround yourself with, everybody else in your world. What has been your biggest or most valuable takeaway or lesson through your experiences, would you say, or one of them at least?
That we all have our own answers within. That's it. We all have our own answers within, but not all of us necessarily know how to access those answers. So I think the most valuable lesson and takeaway, because it's proven true time and time again, is to find ways to create space to listen to your body and trust your intuition and open up that channel. And there's ways that it's blocked. So say, for example, if you're not taking care of your body on a basic level, allegedly, if you're not eating properly, if you're not sleeping properly, if you're not working out, and you're essentially kind of abusing yourself without even really realizing, because it's the standard in society is to sugar overload, coffee. Oh, I'm drinking coffee right now.
Everything in moderation.
Everything in moderation. So there's taking care of your body, just like there. But then it's the relationship to your body. It's like, how do you expect your body, and especially for women, it's like when we've gone through our whole lives focusing on what we don't like, not being enough, being kind of having a belly, having thick thighs, getting wrinkles, like you're constantly beating yourself up. Do you think your body's really going to be open to communicate to you? So this is where self-love and self-healing is such an important step. And when you do that, when you learn to heal the relationship to your body, you can use your body as an instrument, as the beautiful instrument that it is, taking in all of this millions of bits of information through your senses so that you can attune to your insides, your heart, your soul, and start moving this way that's a bit more fluid versus this rigid movements of what you can and can't do. So many of us live with these unconscious rules, basically putting these parameters on what we can or can't do, but they're not necessarily true. We've been adopted.
We put ourselves, self-imposed prisons. We do it to ourselves.
Unconsciously. And that's where it's so important, because there's a part of your soul. Our souls want freedom. Our souls know the path. So that's where the one piece of information, or the one piece of thing that really stood out, is you've got the answers within. Your soul knows, and it will speak to you through your heart. But if you don't have your body and your mind in check, good luck figuring it out.
It'll be a long, tough journey for sure.
And you'll get there. And I think that you go to the regrets of the dying, and people, like, at the end of their life, when they realize time's up in this life, time's up. And then they blink and they look back and they say, wow, I wish I didn't work as hard. Wow, I wish I spent more time with my family and my friends. Wow, I wish I had the courage to do the things that I love. And how, like, heartbreaking is that?
That is. It's very sad. And there are a lot of people who end up that way and in that place, right? It's horrible. It truly is. It's very sad. Samantha, what is it that sets you and the work you do apart from other coaches? Why would they choose to work with you over someone else?
It's a feeling. They meet me, they catch my vibe, and they're like, there's something here. I have a lot of people who come into the world and just, I don't know what it is. But in other terms, I would say I carry both wisdom and a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience, just from going through those cycles, those transitions of building up a super successful career, walking away from it, starting again from scratch, building it up again, traveling to 80 countries around the world as a single female. That's given me a lot of experience in that regard.
Yeah.
But I also value learning and growth. I've invested in countless certifications. I'm always working through probably two or three of my own tangents of curiosity so that I can take these pieces and these bodies of work, study them, and then integrate them into what it is I know. So I do a lot of somatic work. I don't know if you're familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And emotional work. So really being able to help others go into their body and feel and release energetically what they're holding on to and what they're storing. When you know how to work in the energetic field, results happen at an accelerated rate. It's a lot faster than the outside in is working from the inside out. And so that's something I'm confident in, I'm versed in. And and I get people results. The people who come into my world, they come and they
there you go. And that's what it's about, is the results. So there it is. What, in your opinion, is one of the most important quality or skill sets in a coach?
Safety is like the number one. I would say safety is the number one. And the ability to meet someone and hold someone with full presence. Again, like, your presence is the biggest power. In our busy go society, people are rarely seen. Or even though they kind of feel seen, they don't feel the safety to actually take off the masks that they're wearing to let the vulnerable sides of themselves be seen. And so if you can find a coach, if you find someone where you feel safe enough to remove those masks and those layers you don't even realize you have on, there's a liberation that you experience that will move you in ways that you will literally feel like you're 17 again.
What lights you up or inspires you the most about the work that you do?
The people I work with, definitely. The people I work with, I see their courage. I see their desires. I love that they're willing to play. I love that they trust me in my coaching. Half the time in sessions, I don't necessarily know. Like, we're like, where is this going? But then it ties up into the most beautiful unfolding. That's really, I'm very inspired by the people who are willing to say yes to this.
Now, on the flip side of that coin, what would you say is one of the most difficult parts about the work you do?
Huh, that's interesting. I would say what was more difficult in the beginning was confronting myself, because it really is one of the professions and one of the ways of living where you have to walk the path yourself. So I really value integrity and authenticity, and at no expense, I waver. In a lot of ways, it's amazing. And in long term, I look myself in the mirror and I'm so happy about that. But sometimes short term, when things happen or you get curveballs or things go on, you're like, how much longer am I going to go through this? But I'm committed.
What would you say are three of the most important lessons you've learned in your career as a coach?
Three most important lessons. One. Oh, this is okay. Three most important lessons. I'm rarely stunted by a question, but there's so many. Oh my God. Wait, but there might be something good coming. I would say, the somatics. I would say the importance of the body. Like our body really does. If you are to do any work, if you can get into something to actually go into the body and process, like that's number one. I didn't realize just how profound that work was until I went down the path of coaching and really studied it. Two, I realized that we all have stories and you never really know. And just holding someone, just how tightly grip like an internal limiting belief or story can have on them and the impact it can make if you can actually like just get at it, pull at it, let it go, just how big of a difference it can make in their life. And then third, there's no roadmap as to how to build a successful business. And what I love about coaching is that you can really do it any way you want. A lot of coaches come to me for work as well. And they all say, what's the path? How do I do this? And I'm like, it's a pick your own adventure. What feels good for you? So I would say the third thing, because real estate, like I said, sort of came with a rule book, a way to negotiate. Yeah. And there was more of a framework, whereas this is more rogue, which I liked. And in the beginning, I thought I had to do this. You get the website, you do the branding, you do the marketing, you do the right thing. And it was just like, that's not it. So I threw that out the window. I tuned into what felt in alignment with me and I built my business that way. And it's been extraordinary since. So that's the third lesson that coaching gave me.
Okay. How has your coaching style evolved since you first started coaching to where you are now?
Completely. Like I said, so the beginning of it was a little bit more of that rule book or a little bit more of like rigid, like where I'm like, okay, you got to do this, you got to do that. Now I show up on the call. And I've got tools galore, but I trust the moment. And the way that I coach, I come with clients and we definitely have goals. We definitely have things that they want to work on, whether it's their confidence, whether it's doubling their business, whether it's healing stuff from the past. But we use life for the breadcrumbs of what the work we need to do. And very much, I believe that life will show us what we're going to work on. So depending on what's being evoked in their life, what triggers the conversation in the beginning, and then it kind of takes its own way. So it's completely sporadic, but it's supported by, like I said, tools galore. I've got all the tools, all the trainings, all the stuff, but it's a very unique group of work.
Sorry. What intentional practices do you employ to ensure that your business aligns with your personal values?
It goes back to that part about integrity. The hardest thing about it is sometimes realizing no matter what, that is unwavering. And that's the one value that I have. I walk my path first, period. I ended up as a coach on this path, not more so career, even though I think down I knew I was meant to do this. I ended up on this path because nothing else was more important for me. And so I would never sacrifice that at any expense or any cost. I walk first and I move the way I move first. And then from there, everything else falls into place. Yeah. And I think by living with that integrity, it seeps into everything else that I do and everything else works out in fabulous ways. But it's really, again, being that heart-centered entrepreneur and moving from a place that's, I know everyone's saying you're supposed to go right, but something inside of me is telling me to go left. And I'm
going the other way. Yeah.
I'm leaving you to you guys. Ciao. Yeah. And I'm gone. And left is like the most amazing adventure.
There you go. Now we've talked about self-love a little bit here. Self-love is often a focus of heart-centered coaching. How do you guide clients in nurturing self-love and why is it foundational to their overall well-being?
At the end of the day, all relationships, the foundation of everything is the relationship with you. And in terms of capacity, you can only give to the world what you've got to give. So when you learn how to anchor into that place and heal the relationship to yourself, and there's so many different layers of healing, but heal the relationship to yourself, then like I said earlier, you can tap into that infinite source of love, of energy, of inspiration, and you'll go that much further. So for me, self-love is foundational. And I do see a lot of women actually who they're either people pleasers or there's the good girl syndrome and they're trying to do what's right and they're coming from a place of what they should do. And it's they're overextending their boundaries, they're overextending their energy to help everybody else. And yet inside, they're depleted. And so when we turn that back around and we realize that being selfless isn't selfish and it actually helps you be a better giver, but you've got to set up those boundaries and you've got to heal first, all of a sudden things just, they change. And, yeah. And when you tap into that place of the heart, there is that infinite energy. You can have your cake and eat it too. We all can. I do. Mm-hmm. I do. And it makes me and my contribution to the world, like it just, it adds to it.
What does self-love mean to you? How would you define that word? And what is the difference between self-love and self-care, in your opinion?
So self-love is, for me, it's a feeling. It's just mm-hmm. It's the feeling you have about you. It's like, how do you feel about you? How do you feel when you look in the mirror? How do you feel when you see your body? How do you feel about your journey and your story and your past and your present and where you're going and your relationships? Like, how do you feel? It's your degree of acceptance for who you are at this point in your life. And the difference between self-love and self-care, I think self-care is important to have certain practices to show yourself self-love. Self-care would be being in the moment, choosing, having lemon water in the morning, maybe doing a gentle yoga practice, like having certain practices in place to give your body a rest and to give your mind a rest so that you can even have the capacity to go into self-love. Nervous system regulation is huge, but it's a big buzzword and I'm so glad that there's a lot of awareness around it. But in our model of society that go do,
hustle culture bullshit. Yeah.
I'm a hustle culture. whatever. We're subscribing to it. You don't have to necessarily subscribe to it, but it depletes people. It has you running through your life. And this is what happens. People, you run through your life and then you get to the point where you're on your deathbed and look back and you're like, what happened? And then that's, I think, how I was lucky when I was 27 years old to have reached a certain point to ask these deeper existential questions. I'm so grateful that I did because it sort of gave me that perspective of you're young. What are you trading your youth for? But not in a selfish way. I was reading the right books and right things to open up my mind to different ways of thinking. So self-care will give you that space within yourself to get curious about weight that you're carrying.
Vulnerability is often a transformative force. How do you create a safe space for vulnerability in your coaching sessions, allowing your clients to open up and grow?
Oh, vulnerability is like the cornerstone to everything. Everything. Like shame and vulnerability is huge because, like we were saying, the body keeps the score. Things that are living within us, within our bodies as shameful, it's taking up capacity within. And we are carrying that heaviness around with us for the rest of our lives until we actually be with it, acknowledge it, love it, process it, release it, and let it go. So I think when it comes to vulnerability, because of, again, the way that I've led myself and the deep work that I've done, I hold that space sort of automatically where they don't know why, but there's a safety here. I'm really not judging you because I've, again, had to face my own monsters. So that sort of goes without even having to say anything. It's a sense that's felt where you come into my world and those protectors or those defense parts of themselves are automatically just a little bit on relaxed. And then I have a razor sharp mind and I love to play. So when my clients, if we're going into something and one of their parts, the protector, comes out and it doesn't want to go there, I just, okay. And then it's almost like a sword fight. I say it's an sword fight of, and then I help them.
The sound effects and everything. I love it.
Everything. It's so fun. And I ask certain questions and I'm willing to go there because I know the gift that's on the other side of it for them. So I am unwavering in the way that I hold them because I know that if we can just go there and if, let's say the ego comes out and it does not want to let the story go or be exposed. Like for me, it's let's go. I don't care. We're cracking this. And there's a levity with that. Because at the end of the day, with that one part that's holding on to the shame, there's another part that wants the freedom. And this internal battle happening unconsciously within all of us, but my clients. So if I can help not necessarily get rid of that part, but sort of put it in check so the other part can come through, then this is where it makes a difference because you move through your life with more awareness is what's happening.
Beautifully said. Empathy is a strength, but maintaining boundaries, of course, in coaching is crucial. How do you strike a balance between being empathetic and establishing healthy boundaries in your coaching relationships?
To be honest, I don't have to do anything. It's so easy. I'm so clear. I think about that and I'm so clear what's mine and what's not. And a big lesson that I've learned this year that was sort of refining this, I realized that in the past, I used to have my arms extended open like this. And if in any way, I was a helper and a giver. And if I could take, if somebody said something happened or I did something, I'd be like, oh my gosh, what'd I do? How can I help you? What did I take on the total responsibility? But through my own work, my arms have gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. And now I'm just so clear of my personal power and I'm clear of other people's personal power too. So when stuff comes up, I hold the space, but I don't hold it. And then in that, I can help guide them through that clarity of that clear boundary of what's mine and what's theirs. And it actually, like I said, it gives them their power because instead of going through that unconscious pattern of unloading or being like giving it to someone or doing that, they take it on as themselves and they're like, okay, let me work with this. And that's literally all any of us want is for us to accept ourselves.
For sure. Beautifully said. Looking ahead, what legacy of love and positive impact do you hope to leave through your coaching practice and your entrepreneurial endeavors?
I mean, obviously, I hope to make the world a better place. I hope to, I just hope to leave the world a better place for as long as I'm here. That's my legacy. I hope to really inspire others to just follow their authentic path. That's it. And I have dreams and I have aspirations, but I literally feel like I'm living the dream right now. And where it's going to go from here, I'm excited to see. But
bring it on, baby. Bring it on.
Let's go. Let's play.
Now, as mentioned off the top, you're the host of a podcast. Can you share with us a little bit about your podcast, name of it, what's it all about? Is it interview style, solo, mix? And what inspired you to start a podcast?
Yeah. So my podcast is called Hello Beautiful, but it's spelled B-E-Y-O-U as Be Your Beautiful Self. And we share authentic, vulnerable stories. And the funny thing is the podcast was sort of my catalyst to getting into this work because as I was traveling around the world and I was sort of in that in between of real estate and figuring things out, I knew deep down that I just, the rooms that I was in, the conversations I was having, the things I was learning, I'm like, this is so valuable. As I wish all of my best friends could be a fly on the wall in these rooms, but they're in their lives, in the grind, in the hustle culture. And I'm like, I've got to find a way to give back. So I remember once I was showing a house. I was back home in real estate and it was a private seller and I was representing the buyer. And the seller and I just got into conversation before the buyer came. And we were just chatting life. And then she just was amazed at just some of the stories and perspectives. And she looked at me and she says, you really need to start a podcast. And the second that she said it, you're like, I just looked, I'm like, you're right. I think I do. I didn't even know what a podcast was. I literally went home. First question, what is a podcast? Google. Okay. Second question, this is 5 years ago. How do I start a podcast? Okay. But it was such a clear message. The way that she said it to me, it struck me like a bolt of light. And I've learned to identify when those moments happen, like crystal clear, you move. So the funny thing is about my podcast, like I had no idea. And I used to consider myself technologically illiterate. Seriously, I really struggled. I freak out. There was like a notification coming out. I can't figure this out. I'd shut my computer. I'd leave for days.
Well, technology can be overwhelming for a lot of people, for sure.
Okay, so let me be a voice for those people. If I can figure it out, anybody can figure it out. But what I did, I remember I had invested in because I knew there was a call, like I knew there was something here, but I didn't know what it was going to look like. With any creative concept, it kind of takes time to work out. But I ended up investing in a course, how to start a podcast. And I remember the investment was about like $750 or something, like $8, right? And when I had purchased this course, this like 3-month container that was going to guide you A to Z, how to do all the things to start a podcast, I promised myself that with the investment, that no matter what, I would follow through. And so I went ahead, I created a deadline, and I just remember this moment of pure intention where I planted the seed with the world that no matter what, this day, I'm getting a podcast out. And it was this almost like a vow. I would say it was that sacred.
Yeah.
It felt like a vow to myself and my future that this is happening. As things tend to go, I started the course, super motivated, got into it, so excited. And then about week 6, 7, I was just like, I'm over it. No, not And it just kind of went to the wayside. And it's not that I fully stopped. It's just like other things kind of became priority.
Right.
And other group of other things. And then all of a sudden, because I was living between LA and Thunder Bay at the time, I was packing one day in Thunder Bay, getting ready for a flight that afternoon to LA. Mm. And this notification went off on my phone. And I'm like, what's that? And I looked, making sure it was no real estate appointments. And then it was that deadline, podcast launch date. And it was tomorrow. And I'm like, oh yeah, this.
Uh-oh.
And I had one of those moments where I was just sitting in my house and I was packing up my life, getting ready to go to LA. I was dating someone at the time who was living there. Mm-hmm. And I just had to have this real talk with me because I was just like, I went back to that moment that I made the promise. And I thought about everything I had done up to that point and where I was. I'm like, this is it. You've got to figure this out. You've got to do this. So I decided in that moment with that deadline that tomorrow it would be out. Keep in mind, don't have a name. Barely have a concept, never done an interview, didn't have any equipment, but I had a laptop and I had like a microphone, I think, on headphones. So I flew to Toronto. I had a layover in Toronto. My aunt was there and she was actually one of my first guests. And she has this really incredible story about overcoming breast cancer and whatnot and her journey there. So I was just like, let's do it. Let's record this. So on my layover, I was in the car at the airport, recorded the first episode. I flew to LA on that flight. My laptop is open. There I am learning how to edit this episode.
Holy shit.
And then in LA that day and all night, I swear, I like poured me coffee and I think I pulled an all nighter, but I was just in the grind, rolled up my sleeves and I just got super focused, got to work. And in that process, by the next day, within 24 hours, start to finish, my podcast was out to the world. And
incredible.
If you go back, you can actually listen. Hello, beautiful. You'll listen to the first episode. It's maybe about 10 minutes and it's my story. And I did that all within that short deadline. So I really believe that with focus and determination and that deadline, like in that drive, things can happen fast.
That's fucking incredible. I love that story. Thank you for sharing that.
I did it all. I did everything. I had no editor or anything. I had no idea what I was doing either. It was hard, but it was the gateway that led me into, because about 6 months later, then I did the thing I really wanted to do, which was coaching. And here I am.
Right. But that determination to get it done and to follow through on the goal you set for yourself. Amazing. Because most people would have said, ah, fuck it. Forget it.
But the difference is it's like a deadline, but it was a vow.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to explain the sacred union between life and myself, but it was just this promise that I'm going to do this. And going back to just the hour comment, how we all don't live the same hour. Are you living your life where it's on the surface where you're like, and kind of whatever about it? Or are you engaged in the moment and engaged in that dedication, commitment
to yourself? That's the key right there. What would you say is one of the most important things you've learned in your life? And what was your life like before you learned it? What was your life like after you learned it?
I'd say one of the most important things that I've learned has to go on the lines of compassion and forgiveness. And that's been I would say forgiveness more than compassion. And forgiveness has been a lesson that it's been hard and it's an ongoing one. I think it's one of the deep lessons that I've really taken my time to be with in different capacities. But I really do believe, and it's everybody is doing the best with what they can, with what they know. Mm-hmm. There's truth in that. And if we're able to come to a place of forgiveness for other people and also forgiveness for ourselves, it makes the difference in everything. Living a life of judgment is not, it's like claustrophobic. Living inside of you, you want to live with judgment, you're going to live on a house full of hoarders inside of you because it's a lot.
It is for sure. Who in your life has had the biggest impact on you and why?
I would say my dad. And I'm thinking about him because he's one of the people who I've struggled with forgiveness for. He's a great guy. But, you know, I really aspired, and my mom, I'm going to say, both my parents. I just grew up really aspiring to be like both of them. And I was really like, as most kids do, you see your parents and they're up on these pedestals and they're heroes. And then as you grow up, you realize they're people and you go through that whole experience of sort of when they come off the pedestal and they're not showing up for you in the way that you need and you're on your own and you have to navigate through all that. I feel like my biggest lessons came through my parents and I'm grateful for them. I think I can really appreciate how certain things that my parents taught me, and especially from a really young age, are foundational in the woman that I am. And I think oftentimes when it comes to our parents, it's easy to look, and especially when you go on your healing journey, I think everyone kind of reaches points where they're like, my parents did this, or they did that, and there's a lot,
yeah,
of,
oh, yeah,
a lot of that cycle. Yeah. But when you get, you know, can shift the part of what they did out of love and how they were there for you and how they were doing the best with what they knew. And
exactly. I was just going to say that. Yeah. They did the best with what they had, right? You hear people, I'm this way because my parents did this to me, blah, 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 blah. Sure, there may have been things, but they did the best they could with what they had. Just like you're doing the best you can with what you have. And it's up to you to change that if you're not happy with where you're at and what you're doing.
But I love it because it's like even those hardships or even those things that I used to judge and feel, oh, it's not fair. And then it's, wow, I've extracted the lessons. I'm with the wisdom. It's contributed to
the
dynamics of who I am.
Mm-hmm. So for sure.
That would be it.
What do you think your unique skill set or superpower is that's helped you become successful?
My unique superpower is, which one do you want?
Whichever one you want to share.
All of it. The total package. Everything.
Let's go.
No, I would say, honestly, I think the levity that I have in the world, and I really do feel, especially as a woman, because of the extent of the inner work that I've done, I lean into and lead with my femininity in a way that a lot of women unconsciously have protection and like guards on, but on the outside, there's like a hardness or there's like a you know,
armor,
right? There's that, yeah, armor. Whereas when you do this work and you take off the armor piece by piece, you can remain so soft, so flowy, so fun, so creative, so playful. So, and I think most women want to feel this way. They want that feeling of just being so embodied in their being. But I have that because I'm so rock solid, confident with who I am from the inside out. So that armor is like a steadfast inside. Yeah. And it's anchored into my heart and it's unwavering. And it's because of that anchor that I am so just like chill on the other side. So I think that's one of my superpowers, is to be that reflection out to the world and to show a path. Mm. This is a step-by-step process that you can go through, a path that you can do. It's an intimate journey. There's not the only way, but there's different ways of getting there. But I've gotten there. You can get there. You can live with this softness and levity in your heart too.
Beautiful. Now, speaking of success, how do you define that word? What does the word success mean to you?
Success means living in alignment, being happy, listening to yourself, allowing yourself room to grow, just living in alignment with your values, I would say is, yeah, success. If you know what your personal values are, which a lot of people don't, and I think that's something that's important, is getting really clear on your top 3 to 5 values. And if you are living in alignment with your personal values, you're successful.
Love it. What does the word empowerment mean to you?
Empowerment would be willing to stand for something, willing to pull up to the table and take your seat, knowing that you are totally worthy to be there. And even though your contribution may look different from the other people at the table's contribution, your contribution equally matters. And being willing to use your voice and speak, I feel like that's a very empowered way of living. And I, yeah, really want, again, to be a reflection for other women. Hey, there's a seat for all of us at this table. Let's go.
Oh, build our own damn fucking table.
There you go.
Okay, we're going to jump into a little rapid fire section here. So the next grouping of questions, just be 2-3 forward answer type thing, okay? How would you describe yourself in one word?
Joyfully happy.
What is your favorite self-care practice?
Meditation.
If you could teach the world one thing, what would it be?
To listen to their hearts.
What is one thing you want but cannot buy with money?
Love.
If you could be remembered for one thing, what would that be?
Living.
What is one thing you love about yourself that is not related to your physical appearance?
It's my heart. Everything is around love and my heart.
That concludes our rapid fire section. Now back to our regularly scheduled program. What is an unexpected blessing or occurrence in your life that you're grateful for?
An unexpected blessing. At one point in my travel days, I met one of my boyfriends. He was doing a project traveling to every single country in the world. So after I was traveling on my own, we met and he had invited me to join him. And I had no idea what that adventure would be. But I've done this a few times, actually. When I look at my late 20s, early 30s, I've always been open to travel the world for love. And I've had that in me where it's, if I meet somebody and I feel like there's a spark there, let's go. And so I think that's been an unexpected blessing, because it's led to just the most incredible global romances and adventures. And I look back and I'm like, that's what your 20s should be for. That's what you know.
Yep. Traveling, having fun, seeing the world and meeting people.
Exactly.
Having fun. That's it. Samantha, what is your why?
My why is to just make the, again, to make the world a better place. Literally, if I can help unlock you, I really do see it as a candle. I've got my light on, and if I can see your candle and I can light your light, and then you can take it and light your light, and you can take the light your light. I just want to make a difference with who is right in front of me. So whether it's one-on-one, whether it's a barista, whether it's my neighbor, whether it's on a stage in front of thousands of people, if I can light somebody's candle, I'm happy.
Love that. If you could step into my shoes, what question would you have asked yourself that I didn't ask you?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. I would have asked me, oh my God, this is trippy. I would have asked me about psychedelics. I would have asked about psychedelics, and I would have maybe asked about that around, or Burning Man, because I'm a big burner. So those two topics I think are incredibly interesting.
Okay, share a little bit about those.
I love it. So my favorite experiences in the world, I aspire to live an experience rich life. And I think that's been an amazing lighthouse. It's guided me in an amazing way, because through experiences, we can extract wisdom, and through wisdom, mm-hmm. we personally learn and grow. My favorite experiences on the planet, Vipassana, which is a 10-day silent meditation. Dr. Joe Dispenza, which is, he's got this advanced training that you can do where you'll learn a really crazy style of tantric meditation. And then Burning Man. And for me, Burning Man is the coolest place on the freaking planet. It takes socially constructed reality, breaks it down, and builds this dream world in the middle of nowhere, black
rock. The desert in Vegas.
Desert outside
Nevada.
Yeah. And it is wild. It is the coolest freaking place on the planet. You go there, and I'm lucky because I'm sort of living in alignment going there, but you're going to go there and you are going to come back a changed person. Your perspective of life, of reality, of the world, of people, it's going to crack you open in ways that you never expected. So it's one of those places that you go for, you want to have all these experiences, but you will just get what you need. Yeah. Burning Man's the coolest. Burning Man's actually the first place I experimented with psychedelics too.
Okay.
I grew up, I was very much like athlete, straight edge, drank a little bit, did not do drugs. Like, I was like, they're bad, very Catholic. Don't do
that. Yeah.
It was like, you do not do drugs. And I remember this was my fifth burn this year. So I started going in 2017. Mm-hmm. And I remember I experimented with, I think it was like, I don't know if it was mushrooms or MDMA, but experimented with that. And it just completely cracked open my heart. And if you were to kind of experiment with them anywhere, it's like the art, the costumes, the people, the moment, it was wild. And I'm somebody, clearly, if I'm speaking about it openly, I'm very pro psychedelics.
Yeah.
I love when that's happening. I think there's going to be such an advancement in mental health as well. So many people I see are suffering under the pressure of the weight of the system, mm-hmm. and under the certain circumstances, whether it's with a practitioner or done intentionally, what psilocybin or like a certain ketamine maybe, or something like under the right, it can completely crack you open. So I'm super excited just to see how that avenue continues to evolve, because the studies and what they're coming out with, it's incredible. It's so fascinating.
Your environment plays a huge part when you're doing psychedelics, massive part, mm-hmm. and your frame of mind. You have to be in the right headspace, and you have to be in the right environment when you're doing psychedelics, for sure.
Fully. And it's the type of thing, and with intention, like you're partying and you're like drugs, that's not it. That's not the intention. You can do it. You can go that way. I have no judgment, but it's that intention, and it's sacred. And it's almost using these things as medicine to help show you things that you otherwise may not be able to see or experience. And I've heard too many stories, and I've seen it with my own eyes and experienced it, where people have overcome years of heaviness, of weight, of patterns and stories that are keeping them heavy, where one experience completely opened them. But under the right, responsibly.
For sure. If you had the opportunity to sit down and have a 1-hour conversation with one woman, any woman in the world, who would it be and why?
Oh, great question. Oh, I would love to sit down. To be honest, I would love to talk to Penelope Cruz. And this just came, I don't know
why.
She's coming up.
Wow, didn't expect that one.
I know, it's coming out of the blue. My entire life since I was grade 7, I've always been told once a week, without fail, someone will come up to me and say, you look like Penelope Cruz. You remind me of
you do. The similarities are there for sure.
So I would just love to sit across from her. And I just think she's such a, when I see her, just such an embodied woman. I love her energy, her heart, her passion for art. Her acting's incredible. So I would really be interested just for that one thing, because she's been somebody my whole life that has followed me on a weekly basis for some, like someone will say something. I would love to be like, you know what? My whole entire life, I don't know who she was back then, but I do find her to be a very embodied woman, a very charming mm-hmm. woman. I love the Spanish flair too. She's got that feminine approach. She's mm-hmm. a spokeswoman for Chanel and Estee Lauder, and she's just like the same va-va-boom. But also, like, I'm not going to take any shit. She's kind of got her
kick-ass, badass woman. Yeah,
oh, I love her. Her.
All right. If you could go back and give your younger self one piece of advice, what would that piece of advice be?
Trust that everything that's happening for you is happening for you. I honestly wouldn't change anything. I would have her walk the same path that she walked, but I would just say trust. Like, trust that everything that's happening is happening for you.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't make sense when you're going through it, even though it feels hard, even though there'll be years of this dark room and you're going to be like, have that exasperating feeling of not knowing what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to go, who you're supposed to be, trust that it's all working out.
That's a huge piece, that trust, and allow to lean into that when you are going through the shit. It's hard to look at that and think, this is all happening for a reason. It goes back to doing the self-work and having the self-awareness to be able to step outside of it and look in and say, okay, what's the lesson here? What can I take from this and move forward with?
Exactly.
Right. Lastly, Samantha, if you were to deliver your last 30-second speech to the world, your tribe, your corner of the world, your people, what would that last 30 seconds sound like? What words of wisdom would you impart?
I'd say that this life is meant to be lived. Allow yourself the permission to go for it. Make mistakes, learn, grow, be, play, have fun. Don't take yourself as seriously, but do take life by the reins. Literally allow it to be the ride of your lifetime, I guess. Just fucking go for it. Just fucking do it. Because in the process of going for it, in the process of taking the leaps of faith that scare you, you're going to become the woman that you've always wanted to be. Yeah, that's what I would say along those lines.
Beautiful. Powerful. I love it. Samantha, thank you so much for taking and making the time to be here with me today to share about the beautiful light you put out into the world through the work you do, your story, your journey. It has been an absolute pleasure having the opportunity to sit down and speak with you. I appreciate you, and I am grateful to have you as a member of the Empower Graphic community. Thank you for being beautiful. You.
Thank you, Brad. It was a pleasure.
Once again, my name is Brad Walsh, host of your Empowerography podcast. Today, my guest has been Samantha Roberto. She is a heart-centered entrepreneur, a master life coach, and a podcast host. Thank you so much, Samantha. I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day.
You too.
Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. If you haven't yet, please be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share with all your friends. You can find me at viseuphoria.ca. Follow me on Instagram at Empowerography Podcast and on Facebook at Empowerography. Please join me next time for another inspirational story from yet another amazing woman.